You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts Saturday edition. Huge weekend is upon us. It takes a really long time from training camps in July to get to this point, but many of us, and I'm sure many of you, consider it to be the best football weekend of the year. It is the divisional playoff round in the NFL, and we're going to dive into it in a big way today. For those of you that have listened every Saturday, you may or may not know, we shook it up a little bit. So along with me are a couple of my friends and a new co-host for this show, Corey Parson and Scott Engel. So George Kurtz has moved over to the Sunday show. We had a good run, and I'm sure we'll work together again, but I'm really excited to get to work with these two guys on a regular basis. So first, Scott, thank you for joining me on this Saturday edition of the Roto Experts.
It's good to be here. Good to be back with you and the fantasy executive as we get ready for the divisional round here.
Yeah, Corey, good to have you. We don't get a chance to work together on a consistent basis. We work together plenty of times, but consistently, this is going to be the first time we're doing shows regularly together, so I'm excited for it, and thanks for being on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Looking forward to it. Mike, going to enjoy it, have a good time. Obviously, been working with the King for years, so glad to get up on Saturday mornings with y'all. And like you said, this is the best weekend of football of the year. Not to mention the fact, this part of the year is so cool to me because it kind of brings the innocence back to football. Not so much worried about fantasy numbers and player performances and stuff like that. Just kind of enjoying the game of the football. So definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, we don't often get a chance to kind of relax on the couch and just let it happen, right? You can play your DFS contest and your playoff contest, but you haven't put months and months of research into it, right? You're just sitting there, you've picked a couple of lineups, and you hope it does well, but a little bit more of a crapshoot than trying to grind it out on the waiver wire each and every week. So, if you do want to hit us up today, please contact us at FNTSY Radio on Twitter. I already have 5 polls lined up, so there's going to be plenty of interaction on Twitter. If you want to hit me up, I'm at Mike Blewett. Scott Engel is at Scott E Roto X. And then Corey is at The Fantasy Exec. That's E-X-E-C at the end. Give us a call at 844-843-6879. We'll have the phone lines open today. We'll talk about whatever it is you want because there's tons of news beyond the games. Coaching candidates, vacancies being open and closed. What is your biggest surprise out of that so far, Scotty?
Biggest surprise out of all the coaches? I don't know if I'm really shocked by any of them, to be honest with you. I don't think there necessarily is a biggest surprise. I do think, we'll talk about it later, though, that I think the most interesting was the Rick Dennison.
Yeah. Bringing in a coach, and he's out after one year in Buffalo, Corey. Yeah. Obviously, there's going to be a QB change there as well.
Yeah, definitely think you're going to see that coming. So it's going to be interesting to see what direction they go in as they try to get this offense to the next level.
I kind of appreciate the fact that they're still tweaking it, right? They know that it's still a new regime there, and they're trying to get things done. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in detail, some injuries, and then we got some beat writers coming up to give us previews of these games. It's Mike, Corey, and Scott on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Yeah, the boys are back in town. Mike, Scott, Corey here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I mentioned before the break we're going to have a couple of writers on with us today.
That's going to be Teron Davenport from the Eagles Wire of USA Today. He'll be talking Eagles, Falcons, and then Greg Arias. That's going to be at 9:40, so a little bit later this hour. And then Greg Arias from Pro Football Spot. He's a Titans beat reporter, been covering them for 15 years, and he'll be on a little bit later in the show, in the third hour. We are on for 3 hours, so 9 to 12. A lot, chock full of Roto experts this morning, Scott. We got a nice little weekend edition going here. It's going to take up everybody's morning.
Pretty much, you know, and everybody waking up early, you know, probably all excited about the playoffs from both real and fantasy perspectives.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. I'm fired up about it, so we'll get a chance to talk to those guys a little bit later in the show. So the new schedule for Saturdays, to give you a heads up on what that is, we're on until noon, so 9 to noon Eastern. Then you're going to have the Weekend Fantasy Update. That is Joe Galina, Frank Stanfill, and Mike Florio from 12 to 2 Eastern. And then the producers from 2 to 4 Eastern. Our very own Pete Considori will be on with Chris Bavona and Kevin Walsh. And then Kevin Walsh will stay on for Fantasy Gold with Tony Cincotta. So there you go. There's your Saturday lineup. And looking forward to bringing you some similar content, but with some new combinations of people. So we look forward to that. So first thing, we'll continue with the news that you mentioned in the first segment, Scott, and that is Rick Dennison being out in Buffalo. He's only there for a year, so a little bit of a shocker that they make a change right away. Obviously, there's a lot of moving pieces here. McDermott comes in his first year, gets them back to the playoffs, but they keep mentioning publicly that they need a franchise quarterback, obviously intimating that they don't currently have one. But to change the coordinator means that it's going to have to be a symbiotic relationship here, right? The quarterback, the OC, along with the quarterback, whomever it is they select.
Yeah, they'll probably have to come in together, but they want a franchise quarterback. Well, get in line. How many of them actually exist in the NFL? Tyrod Taylor, to me, I think if put in the right situation, can win ball games and maybe even take a team deep into the playoffs. There's rumors that he's going to go to Denver, and to see him play with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and athletic he is, he could be the missing piece here. Look, this guy is no superstar, but I believe he's athletic and put in the right situation. He can do pretty darn good, and that's just not from watching the kind of fantasy numbers he puts up. As far as Dennison, there's two schools of thought. Number one, that what did he really have to work with on offense? But then again, you look at Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins go to L.A. and all of a sudden things turn around. Who's to blame here? They're blaming the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. They did have a lot of talent in the passing game, but they never, when there was some talent there, Watkins and Woods, they never got max production out of them. I don't know how much I blame Tyrod Taylor. I think I would probably, after thinking it through and talking it through with Tony yesterday too, I'd probably lay more on Dennison, because if Woods can go to L.A. and play like that, something has to be on the coach or the coordinator. And I believe Tyrod Taylor is a better quarterback than people think.
Corey, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think when you look at the situation, Dennison, like you said, the pieces weren't really there in place, but I don't know whose decision it was to bench Tyrod Taylor in the middle of the season for Peterman. That wasn't a good look. Play calling has been an issue in Buffalo this year. We saw his wrist head in a wild card game last weekend. So I think, earlier in the week when McDermott wouldn't commit to bringing Dennison back, you kind of knew this writing was on the wall in the situation. But as far as moving forward goes, they need to get somebody in there to develop a young quarterback, more than likely the way they go, unless they go free agency. But developing Nate Peterman is probably going to be a mistake. So it's either going to be through the draft or maybe bringing somebody in free agency. But I definitely think an offensive coordinator and a quarterback is going to be a tandem in this case.
Look, I think there's been a lot of debate about Taylor. But when it comes down to it, the Bills have made their decision on it already.
Yeah, they're done with it.
I think Scott's right. He's probably better than the Bills give him credit for, and then maybe the public gives him credit for. But they've made their decision. They're moving on with him. So why are they going to give Rick Dennison another chance to work with a guy that they don't know who it is yet? And they probably feel that he didn't maximize Tyrod Taylor at the same time. So the clean slate, now it's going to be interesting. Do they get into the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes? Do they use their 6 draft picks in the first 3 rounds to move up and take one of the rookies? It's an interesting debate, and we've talked about it before. There's this quarterback carousel is going to be very interesting, and Scott just added another spoke to it because Tyrod Taylor in Denver would be another interesting development as well. So that is one of the big news is on the coaching front. Antonio Brown left practice with an illness. He's been dealing with the ankle, which everybody seems to think is 100%. But, Corey, I'll ask you first. Are you concerned with Antonio Brown maybe not being 100% here when they play tomorrow?
No, I think Antonio Brown will be fully healthy. Obviously, looking forward to this, getting this playoff run started. They expect this to be deep, and they're going to need AB to do that. But full participant in practice all week, he's 100% ready to go. So I think we get the best of Antonio Brown.
Scott, you feel the same way?
Yeah, I probably don't feel the same way in terms of that he had a setback late in the week, and I just can't assume that he's going to be fully ready. No, but they said there was a problem with the calf again, too.
Oh, really?
Okay. There was a problem with the calf again, too. So, you know, I can't assume that he's going to be able to put – look, like we saw with LeSean McCoy as we come full circle here, though, is that you know, it's the playoffs – and, you know, he's going, I believe he's, they got to try to get him to play here. You know, this is a very, very important game. You know, it's not like he's playing Cleveland in week 15.
Yeah. I mean, you're playing the nastiest cornerback tandem in the entire league. So obviously you need all of your weapons available. As this resident Steelers fan, obviously I'm concerned. I feel way better about it now than I did even a week ago because I had no idea what was going on. They did a pretty good job of keeping it under wraps as best they could. So we will see. The setback is discouraging, but at the same time, you know he's going to be out there. At worst, they're just going to have to limit some snaps. He's going to have to be out there.
He'll definitely we'll be out there, Mike. Yeah. But I think what you got to look forward to, they got a guy like Smith-Schuster on the outside. We've seen Martavis Bryant come up big in clutch situations in the playoffs before. So they definitely got enough pieces. I understand that Jacksonville D is tough, but they got Le'Veon Bell, who might be the best player in the NFL. So I would feel pretty comfortable, especially if you can get him some rest and get him out there next week. I still would feel good if I was rooting for the Steelers.
Yeah, no doubt. So we'll make one quick transition over back to the coaching front because we're – you know, we expected this to be kind of an Armageddon situation where there could have been as many as 10 coaches out. It really didn't reach those proportions, and one of the coaches retired in Bruce Arians. We quickly filled a couple of spots, quickly filled a spot with Matt Nagy going over to the Bears and John Gruden going over to the Raiders. And now there's four left with the Colts, Lions, Cardinals, and Giants being those four teams. I heard you all talking about it yesterday on the Roto Experts, but to kind of summarize, it seems like all roads are leading to Indianapolis for Josh McDaniels. Would you both agree with that?
Yeah,
I would think so. And, you know, Matt Patricia seems like he's the inside track for the guy right now with the Giants. So it's not going to be like baseball where the hot stove is very slow. You know, a lot of these coaching changes are falling into place like even before the playoffs are done.
Yeah, Corey, the interesting part about this Matt Patricia thing is it seems like the Lions really like him. But the Giants, he seems to like the Giants job more. This is all rumor. He seems to like the Giants job more. The problem is, if the Lions really make him an offer that he feels like he can work with, and he's got an offensive coordinator in place working with Stafford, does he take that job? And then the Giants are kind of left out in the cold with Pat Shurmur potentially going to Arizona. The Giants may conceivably get their third or fourth choice in this mix.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're really trying to do here, but I don't want to say they would wind up or end up with the coordinator in Carolina who Steve Wilkes looking to try to get his chance in this cycle right here. He could be an interesting option, but obviously you want to bring in an offensive coordinator there and then get that quarterback and that offense rolling and then get somebody to get in there and work with Odell. So it's going to be interesting how they play it out, but it looks like they're waiting on the word from Patricia. And at that point, we can't wait for the season to end to see that happen. So the Giants could be out. Right now they're going to be in a tough spot.
Scott, Corey brings up an interesting point because he he mentioned Odell's name. The irony of all of this is that at the center of the Giants organization is Odell Beckham, which is not the way you want things to line up. But it seems that every time the Giants job comes up, somebody mentions that they're going to have to figure out a way to handle Odell or keep Odell in line or make sure he doesn't have too much influence. Who knows who, what kind of coach can do that? But ultimately, that's a very strange position for an organization to be in.
Well, look, he's a superstar. He's one of the biggest in the NFL. He's your best player, but it also comes with some baggage.
Very true. So we'll come back. We're going to ask these guys if resting players is smart or not. We'll come back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after the break.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mike Scott and Corey, holding it down until noon here before we pass it off to Weekend Fantasy Update. So, talked right before the break about the case for resting players or not. I feel like it comes up every year, or it does come up every year around this time. Shouldn't they, when you got nothing to play for, what's the point in putting guys out there? And it obviously rears its ugly head again. The Rams basically rested everybody in Week 17 against the Niners, and they come out, and they could not have been less crisp than they were against the Falcons. Todd Gurley actually had a good game. Aaron Donald played fine, but passing offense wasn't really clicking at all, particularly Goff, and even Gurley in the passing game wasn't very good. So Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com really laid it out pretty nicely, making some cases for teams that didn't do so well after resting players late in the year, as well as teams that just shrugged all that rust right off and led to a Super Bowl appearance or a title. Most recently, other than last week, you had the 2011 Green Bay Packers. They went 13-0 before they lost to the Chiefs in Week 15. They ended up resting guys really for the last couple of weeks and got blown out by the Giants in their first game in the playoffs. So I'll pass it along to you first, Scott. Do you have a strong opinion one way or the other about resting players?
I think especially from the article you laid out, though, I don't think you do. I don't think there's anything that it shows us either one way or the other that it's good or bad. It's nothing across the board, and that happens a lot in the NFL and fantasy football, et cetera. So I don't think you can just say it's good or bad. I lean towards I'm okay with it because the ultimate concept behind this is to keep players healthy, and that's what you want to do. As far as the Rams go, you'd say, okay, maybe it's because they rested players. The Rams, this team had no playoff experience. Jared Goff, very often this season, had more difficulty when he faced tougher opponents. So, look, I'm not totally shocked at the way that they played. Maybe a little worse than I thought, but I'm not shocked that they lost here. You know, the Falcons are more playoff-tested, and I think as you'll see the playoffs go on, a lack of playoff experience sometimes is going to be detrimental. And maybe I'm pointing more to that than more of them resting players. Sometimes guys are fresh and it really doesn't matter and they can use the week off. Look, everybody has a bye week during the NFL regular season too. You know, you need to rest these guys mentally and physically.
Corey, you feel strongly one way or the other about it?
No, not really. I don't think you win or lose a playoff game because you rest players. You win or lose a playoff game because you win or lose a playoff game. I think, you know, getting guys a chance to get healthy, that's a good thing. But if it was a situation that I would have if I was the head coach, which you, I probably could be the head coach of an NFL team, but we'll talk about that in another segment. You know what I mean?
You just want to take over the Cowboys? Just slide in for Garrett?
I mean, DJ, Jason Garrett's a master motivator, but I can clap my hands pretty well also.
He is?
He claps it up. He is, Scott.
He is a master motivator. He goes around the country talking to different teams. He's like a motivation.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant he'd be like a master motivator of the Cowboys. I haven't seen that.
Anyway, we're going to go past that one. with that being said, though, I would, if it was my situation, I would try to get them out there for at least a half. I want the team to stay fresh.
I'm with you guys. I think it, basically for the reasons that Scott said, there are so many opportunities for players to get banged up during the course of a game. Why risk it when there isn't anything to play for? I don't really have an issue that the Rams rested the players. Farrah Cooper was the guy who's at the heart of some of the failings of the Rams last week, and he played in week 17. He wasn't one of the players that was rested. He actually played wide receiver too. The guy got rocked on a kick return, fumbled, and then fumbled another one again. And he's the all-pro kick returner in the NFL this year. It was not like him to make poor plays like that. That's the way these playoff games tend to swing. It is interesting when you look back at some of the teams that did rest players, though, and how bad they were when they came out of those breaks. The 2010 Patriots was the team that lost to the Jets, and they barely took any time off. They took about a half off with some other players resting the full game. The 2010 Philadelphia Eagles, that was the big Mike Vick year. He had taken them. They were locked into a 3 seed before the playoffs, and Andy Reid sat Vick, McCoy, Asante Samuel, and 10 other starters. They lose to the Cowboys. And then they ran into the Packers, who in 2010 were on a really hitting their stride, and they obviously went on to the Super Bowl title, beating the Steelers. But sorry, Corey, I cut you off.
No problem. I get what you're saying with some of these teams and how they carry it down the stretch. But you look at the situation last week with the Rams. I think that was more so a lack of playoff experience going on with the Rams, being in that spot for the first time. A little bit too much lights, and you start to see the turnovers and inaccuracies from Jared Goff that you really didn't see too much throughout the course of the season. But I think they rebound nicely, as they are clearly the class of the NFC West now.
How do you feel about that, Scotty?
So he took a shot back at me right now. So we're even this morning so far.
It's okay. 1-1. I got my whiteboard in front of me. It's 1-1.
That's fine. That's fine. We'll see what a healthy Seahawks team has to say about that next year. But about Goff, like I said, the play was uneven throughout the regular season when you watched him on a game to game basis. So yeah, I'm not surprised that they got vanquished here. You know, there's a lot of talent there, but there wasn't a lot of experience. I think you might see that with Case Keenum in these playoffs too.
Well, we will preview the games to give everybody a heads up. We're actually going to talk to Teron Davenport. You can find him on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL. We're going to talk to him in the next segment. We're going to preview the Eagles-Titans game. Eagles-Titans. Falcons-Eagles game. And then
That's your Super Bowl prediction?
No, certainly not. I have them both losing this weekend. So we'll get to the games in the second hour. We'll do Falcons Eagles a little bit more. We'll do Jags Steelers. Pat's Titans will probably wait for the third hour because we're going to talk to Greg Arias from Pro Football Spot, and we'll do Saints Vikings as well. So I'll give you a little bit of a preview as to who I'm picking there. But I do like the way the Falcons are playing, personally, and I'm with you guys. Look, Scott, you and I had talked. We had done the Sunday show together for months. We talked about the Rams a bunch, and I just was never both on and off air. And I was really impressed with the way they handled the Seahawks and the way they won a whole bunch of games. But they hadn't had any bumps in the road. And I always get concerned for a team like that that's on the come and surprising people. I just get worried when there's not a lot of bumps in the road. And the one time they faced a team in a a big spot. The Vikings kind of sat them down. And, you know, the Seahawks performance was impressive, but it was also indicative of a Seahawks team that was kind of out of steam, out of gas this year. So that was just my thoughts on the Rams. That's why I thought the Falcons would beat them last week. And, you know, we'll see.
It's a good point that you make. You got to face some adversity. And, look, this is not a shot at Corey whatsoever, but I think you can point to Dallas last year. You know, they had a very easy schedule and a great regular season, and then they got eliminated immediately.
Yeah, it's you know, they played in a tough division, I suppose. But you're right. Yeah, I mean, those things happen. You always look for teams to face adversity at somewhere along the line. A whole bunch of Super Bowl champions, you know, got beat in the playoffs in excruciating fashion, and then were able to overcome that the next season. Right, Corey?
Exactly. That Atlanta Falcon team is interesting, too, because they have that battle tested. We've seen them in big spots, tough games. They went 6-2 down the stretch to make it into the playoffs with some very impressive wins. So I felt like the Rams were an easy go for them, and I think Philadelphia is going to be an easy go for them this week, too.
I mean, they've won 8 of their last 11 games, the Falcons have, and the only
I believe they're going back to the Super Bowl.
It's been so long since a team that lost the Super Bowl has gone back. It's since the Bills, right? In 93 is the last time the Super Bowl loser has gone back to the Super Bowl. But I do think the Falcons have a real shot.
I disagree with you guys on that. I think it was a defensive victory. The offense isn't explosive as last year. To beat the Rams is one thing, and to beat the Eagles with Nick Foles, but I don't think they're quite as good as they were last year. I don't think they're as good as the Vikings, and definitely not as good as the Saints.
Well, the Saints is a division rival. They've beat the Saints already this year, so that can be accomplished. As far as the Minnesota Vikings, let's not forget they're the Minnesota Vikings. Something crazy will happen to the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, yeah, Case Keenum might, but I just don't think the Falcons, because they won one playoff game, I'm not comparing them to last year.
Can they can definitely beat Philadelphia, and they can definitely beat New Orleans.
I don't think they could definitely beat New Orleans. I think if New Orleans on a home track there in the playoffs, I just think they're the better all-around team. They definitely have a better defense.
My concern with people, the way they're looking at the Falcons, is that I think you're right. The offense isn't as crisp this year as it was. But they have won 8 of their last 11 games. Had they played a little bit better, and, you know, ifs and buts and all that kind of stuff, but if they had played a little bit better against the Saints in that late season matchup and won that game, they win the division. And I think the perception of the Falcons would be totally different.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let's forget if here. They didn't. So they didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it.
But they beat them a couple of weeks before that, though, Scott.
They didn't when they had to, though. They did when they had to, and that's why they're in
Look how they got it. They're the seed that they are, and they're 10-6.
The Falcons have been playing playoff games for 2 months.
The Saints are division champs. They earned it.
And they're 11-5.
Yeah, and they won the game they had to against Atlanta, and Atlanta didn't. That's the difference.
Well, the game is going to be the NFC Championship game. Let's see who wins that one.
Yeah, that is going to be where it's all on the line.
If the Falcons make it.
That's true. Well, they both got to make it. The Saints are in the battle
as
well.
True.
We're going to talk about Falcons, Eagles with Teron Davenport from USA Today next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mike, Corey, and Scott are going to bring in Teron Davenport here in a moment. He's going to help us preview this Eagles-Falcons matchup. You can find Teron on Twitter, at @TDavenport_NFL. He just dropped a new book late last year, Carson Wentz, Soaring with the Eagles. So you can find that, I assume, online, Teron. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com as well. And anybody in the Philadelphia area, Rite Aid, CVS, Barnes & Noble. It's available for you.
So, well, first of all, thanks for joining
you gotta,
us.
You got to like that. You got to like that. You got to be, you know, to go to CVS, pick up your prescription, and buy the book. That's really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
it's
right.
A full service. It's a one-stop shop right there for Toronto. So first question I'm going to ask you, obviously, is something that's been on everybody's mind here, certainly in Philly. They're the one seed and they're the underdog. It's the first time since the NFL went to this format in 1975 that this number one home field advantage team is an underdog. So the Eagles, I would imagine, are using this as bulletin board material all week.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who you talk to. You have to look at just the fact that there's a team that lost their starting quarterback, so they're going to be perceived to not be as good as they were, and that's understandable. Really, once kickoff happens, all of that stuff is kind of out of the way. There are some guys in the locker room who use it as bulletin board material. Even some people within the organization, they've posted signs that say that. So some of the players feed into it, some of them don't. I think Doug Peterson summed it up on Thursday when he said, at this point, you know, with this game, I shouldn't have to say anything. And he was 100% right, because it's do or die, win or go home, and that's the motivation for them.
Hey, what's up, Teron? Corey Parson. Nice to meet you, my man.
All right, good to meet you.
Let me ask you about the Eagles' game plan going into this game this afternoon. I think, obviously, with Nick Foles being the quarterback, you primarily want to get a good dose of running the football. How do you think that rotation with those running backs work out?
Yeah, that rotation is going to see Jay Ajayi get the bulk of the carries. They've rested him over the last couple weeks. He didn't participate in their padded practice during the bye week, and he didn't play in the Cowboys game, so rest assured, he's going to be the guy to get the lion's share of the carries. You have LeGarrette Blount, who will probably be more of a short yardage type of back for them, running between the tackles. And then Corey Clement just really does it all for them. And I love the sense of urgency that Corey Clement runs with. So I would say probably somewhere along the lines of like 15, 10, and 8, something like that. Or 15, 10, and 5. I would be surprised if they run the ball more than 30 times.
You had three guys in this offense who scored 8 touchdowns each: Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz. A lot of that when Wentz was in there, but Aguilar adds just such a unique dimension in the slot. How do you see the matchup for him in the slot today? And Foles has worked well with him before.
Yeah, I think that is the matchup to watch. Brian Poole is a pretty good defender. He's the worst of the three sticky corners that Atlanta has, but I like Aguilar against Poole, especially in that slot position where it's a two-way go. You know, he could go outside, go inside, whichever way he wants. Poole can't use the sideline to his advantage, and there's plenty of space, an air and opportunity for him to operate. So that's a good thing. He and Foles, they were on the same page right from the start. You had the 3rd-and-8 catch, 9-yard catch in L.A., which was pretty much the clincher for the NFC East. So, you know, they're going to be in good shape. And Aguilar is probably their best at creating separation. He's their best yards after catch receiver as well. So those are all good things for Nick Foles.
We're with Teron Davenport of Eagles Wire and USA Today. And again, his book, Carson Wentz, Soaring with the Eagles, is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. So, you know, a couple of things that as I'm going through it, taking a look at the stats, the Eagles allowed least rushing yards in the league. Did a really good job stopping the run. They're obviously going up against a tandem here where while the Falcons haven't done a particularly good job of putting points up on the board, they've still racked up plenty of yardage. So this is kind of, I don't know if it's strength against strength, but it's going to be really important that the Eagles maintain that integrity of stopping the run against Freeman and Coleman.
Yeah, I think really it's all about the guys up front, and specifically it's about Tim Jernigan and Fletcher Cox. It's about them getting that interior penetration, getting that instant penetration from that spot. And when you look at Alex Mack, he's a Pro Bowl level center, but then you look to his size, you have two guys who are not really up to par to handle a guy like Kim Jernigan or Fletcher Cox. So they can get that penetration, keep Tevin Coleman from getting his shoulder square to the line of scrimmage and getting downhill. That'll help things out a lot. And then on the outside, you have guys like Brandon Graham, Chris Long. Vinny Curry has done an outstanding job against the run. Brandon Graham, you see him crash down and make plays behind the line of scrimmage on the opposite side of the line. And so that's something that will help. And they just set that edge aggressively. So they make everything harder to run against them. Then you look at the secondary, the safeties tackle very well. Malcolm Jenkins is probably one of the best tackling safeties in the league, and their corners tackle well also. So that's a good thing. They're smaller, throwing Ronald Darby, but they have heart, and they're not afraid to come up and get involved against the run.
So I want to bring it back right quick to Nelson Aguilar. Last season, he was in some tough spots. You know, it was like it was mental issues involved, it seemed like, and things like that. What was the reason for the turnaround this year?
Yeah, I tell you, I knew all along Aguilar was going to turn things around. I was one of the few that always said to look at his ability. Really, the turnaround for him was the mental side of things. He let the game come to him instead of pressing so much and thinking so much about the pressure of being a first-round pick and just having, all of that on him, worrying so much about not making a mistake as opposed to being more focused on making a play. And that's something that really changed with him. He came back with a lot more bounce to him. I think having Alshon Jeffrey, who a lot of people don't know, he and Alshon were cool before Alshon even got here. As a matter of fact, Alshon used to text Aguilar when he was at USC and, give him tips and give him things to work on. Torrey Smith helped him also. Ironically, Torrey Smith, with some of his drop issues, he has helped Aguilar as far as eye level and tracking the ball. And then you look at Mike Grohl. Mike Grohl helped Aguilar become a more confident player, a more technical player. He worked on his releases, his stance, and different things like that. The drills that they do as far as catching through contact. Mike Grohl have the noodle, like a pool noodle that the kids play with. And yeah, he would have the guys catch the ball, and he would whip them with it. And, it teaches you to focus on the ball and catch it, through contact. So that helped. And then playing in the slot has helped him also.
What about the fact that this team is first in the NFC in takeaways? Atlanta is a playoff-savvy team, though, here. I'm sure they're well aware of this. Do you think this is going to be a lower-scoring game maybe that will come down to a turnover here?
Yeah, I think when you look at that, I think they're in good shape. I'll put it to you that way. To answer your question, you were asking about turnover, was it?
Yeah,
they're first in the NFC in terms of turnover differential. They're plus 11.
Okay. Okay, yeah, it went out for a little bit, so I didn't hear the whole question.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's a result of an aggressive defense, and that's kind of the thing that you have when you have a team that will take their shots, on the slants, right? But it's a gift and a curse, You have the slow go, and you have a corner that jumps. If the safety doesn't communicate and get that help over top, you're going to have a touchdown. But if he's there and the corner jumps, you have an interception. So it's really just a result of their aggressiveness on defense, and it's a risk and reward thing. I think the guys up front do a really good job of getting pressure, getting their hands on the ball as far as at the line of scrimmage, knocking it down or knocking it up in the air for the linebackers or safeties to get interceptions. I've seen three happen that way, so there's a lot of things that they could do. And then on the opposite side of the ball, Carson Wentz did a really good job of just taking care of the football, right? He took his shots. He was aggressive, but aggressive with caution. And that's what they're asking Nick Foles to do. And I think Wentz only had, I think it was like four or five interceptions. I don't remember the exact number, but it was under 10, which in itself is good compared to 33 touchdowns. So that definitely helped. A few fumbles came about, but as far as the running backs. But I think for the most part, it's really just been because of they've just been taking care of the football really well.
I saw, your note on Twitter earlier, Teron, that people are already lining up to try and get in there and tailgate. So it's going to be a fired up crowd, obviously, when it kick off at 4:30.
Yeah, for sure. They're already in there now. It's 9:30, so the gates opened at 9:30, so I would imagine they're in there. But, yeah, when I drove by, they were lined up. It was crazy. But, I mean, hey, this is a football town, man. That's really what it is. And, they haven't had playoff football here since 2013, so these people are starving for a winner. And I think this is going to be a really fun game to call, you know, and see, and I'm sure for the players it'll be fun to play.
Yeah, so good stuff. That's Teron Davenport. He's a member of the Pro Football Writers Association. You can find his content at the Eagles Wire on USA Today. You can find his book, Carson Wentz, Soaring with the Eagles, available on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble. He's also a draft analyst for Football Game Plan. So we'll be talking to you hopefully again after this Eagles victory and as we approach draft season. So have fun out there today and good luck to the Eagles. Thanks, Teron.
All right, thanks a lot. Take care.
So we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about that after the break with Mike, Corey, and Scott.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back. It's Mike's going. Mike, Corey, Scott. Just had Teron Davenport on. He was breaking it down. Did a really good job there telling us what the Eagles are looking at. Kind of encouraging, right, for Nelson Agholor, too. That's the one thing I'm taking away from that. Obviously, he gave us some other tidbits there, but the Nelson Agholor thing being, like, being able to make this comeback and becoming an important part of the Eagles' future is kind of an interesting turn from where we were a year ago. Right, Scott? Sorry. I should throw it to one of you.
I'm sorry. Actually, like, you dropped there for a second.
So Agholor, I thought an interesting part of the interview is that Agholor is making a big turnaround from 1 year to the next.
Yeah, it was just a mental thing with him. It just wasn't the talent, as we heard. And, you know, a lot of times as fantasy analysts, and I make this mistake too, is, you know, we'll react to a guy just because he played crappy last year, you know, saying I'm not going to go anywhere near that guy, but I think we have to take it on a case-by-case basis.
He looked bad last year, though. The mental thing going on with him, it looked like he was ready to quit, didn't want to play football no more. He had some tough times last year, some ups and downs, so I can see not wanting to go back in on him, but it does seem like things are going in a positive direction right now. Coaching, obviously playing in effect. You know how we always talk about Torrey Smith, how he is better in the locker room than he is on the field, and you see he continues to bring that to him to Philadelphia. Like, he's a zero for fantasy, but what he did for Nelson Agholor this year helped and stuff like that. So I found that to be interesting. I also find it interesting, Mike, that as Philadelphia Eagle fans are pouring into this place at 9:30 in the morning, I guess they want to get an early start on their season coming to an end. Yeah, oh. their season's coming to an end today.
So
you were saying that kind of stuff when Wentz was quarterbacking too.
Yeah, I was.
So what we did talk a little bit. Scott mentioned the turnover differential thing. So the Eagles were fourth in the NFL, first in the NFC in turnover differential with +11. Atlanta 19th in the league at a -2. Additionally, the Eagles were third in the NFL, and this plays into turnovers, obviously, but the Eagles were third in the NFL in average starting field position. Do you know where the Falcons ranked in average starting field position? Take a guess, Scott.
31st.
That is right.
You may have read the same notes
that I put together. I didn't realize that I'd done that before I sent it to you. So in any event, they are 31st in the league. So, Corey, a field position battle, turnover battles. They play such an important role in every game. But here in a game that is expected to be a 3-point game, it might just come down to one of those turnovers and Matty Ice protecting the ball as opposed to making that killer turnover that he often makes.
I would bank more on Nick Foles turning the football over than Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I think that's a fair thing to bank on.
Very fair.
Yeah.
So we put a ton of polls up on Twitter today for everybody to vote on. We talked about the resting of the players, and then each and every game that's happening this weekend, we put it up for you to vote on. And we have it up there right now for the Eagles. Falcons are 3-point favorites at Eagles. What's your call? Right now, 49% of the voters have the Falcons covering. 14% have the Falcons winning but not covering that 3-point spread. And then 37% have the Eagles winning outright. So pretty good mix right there. But I'm one of the ones that has the Falcons covering. We'll break this game down a little bit more after the as we turn over into the next hour. But, you know, some good information there from Teron Davenport. He thinks that Fletcher Cox and Tim Jernigan can really wreak havoc up front, Scott.
Yeah, I think so. This could have the makings of a low-scoring game here because I think the Eagles are going to play good defense. They're going to have to rely on their defense here.
Corey, thoughts?
It's Philadelphia. I think, listen, it's going to be tough with Nick Foles, the quarterback. At some point, the quarterback has to make a play in the playoff game. I don't think Nick Foles can do it.
There you have it. We'll talk a little bit more about that game in depth. Maybe your best fantasy option for that game after the break. We'll come back in hour number two after this.